What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you. And it is time to get this thing started right. We are in the month of July, which means August is right around the corner, which means September follows that. So that means we are basically almost in football season. I think Media Day is next week, I believe. So we're here, man. It's time to get ready and it's time to get started. And we're going to kick things off with our fall 2021 season previews. We're going to start off with the defending SWAC champs, the Alabama A&M Bulldogs. And we're going to do things a little bit differently than how I previously did a lot of my previews since we had a spring season. We're not going to recap the previous season because we've already done that. So this is going to be a little bit more speculative than a lot of my previous previews because with COVID putting a kibosh on a lot of the schedules, rosters and teams. And additions that come through the portal, and the Bulldogs were very active in the transfer portal because they were able to really make some moves and make some improvements on their defense. Now, obviously, we don't know how these kind of things will play out as the season goes on, but you have to be, you know, impressed with the moves that Coach Maynard did. They're definitely not sleeping on winning a championship. They know that they have to come out and do it again. So they've really made some really good moves. And other than Jackson State, I would say Alabama A&M is the team who really has been active. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Before we, you know, go too far, as usual, facebook.com/swagtalk, instagram.com/swagtalk, swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, Swag Talk is on YouTube, where you can find more condensed versions of these episodes. And we will be having an episode on YouTube today covering Alabama A&M. The page is called Swag Talk Show. So you can go ahead and check that out. If you haven't done so already, once you go ahead and subscribe, I'm going to save you the YouTube spiel about all of that stuff, but go ahead and subscribe if you haven't done so. And if you would like to support the show, you know, show a little love or whatever, we have a Cash App here, and the Cash App is $SwagTalk. So, you know, it that's all up to you. You know, if not, that's all good. I appreciate you listening because, you know, your love and support is what helps keep me going with this. So let's take a first look at what the Bulldogs have on their schedule. We're going to go through game by game. I'm going to give my brief ideals of wins and losses. Obviously, none of this is entrenched in stone. And these predictions or forecasts or whatever you want to call them will change as the season goes on, because obviously when I do my weekly previews, if, you know, a guy is hurt, a team's playing better, a team's playing worse, you know, all of that can factor in. And if you're new to listening to the show, I'm probably more wrong in my predictions than right. I remember 2018, I really was on the Alabama State train because I think they had finished 6-5 that year, the year before. And I was really just hyping them up. And they had a horrible season. So I'm not really going to get on the bandwagon of a team that is not good, and I'm projecting it'll be better. Another team that I was really off on was 2019. I thought UAPB would win 2, maybe 3 games, and they ended up winning 6. And the next season in the spring, they won the division championship. So my predictions, obviously, just take them with a grain of salt. These are all for fun. They're all educated guesses. You know, they're going to change week by week as we get more information on teams. So, you know, this is nothing set in stone. I'm not putting my word on this, but, you know, I'm making a prediction, so I'm going to stand by the prediction at the end of the season. But other than that, this is just all for fun and for the sake of the show. So, with that being said, September 4th is their season opener at home against South Carolina State. Now, these two teams matched up in the spring, and that's part of the reason why they even playing South Carolina State. They agreed to a home-and-home when they scheduled South Carolina State at the start of the spring season when they played in Orangeburg. This is a game I feel strongly in picking Alabama A&M to win this game because, A, they played each other already, and Alabama A&M didn't play a great game, but they won comfortably. So I feel like playing at home would even, you know, would improve that factor. It's going to be tough to go into normal and win. But South Carolina State does bring a good defense, so that's going to be one of the things that really kind of makes this game a little interesting if their defense can hold up. And obviously A&M has some really good weapons on offense. You're talking about Akil Glass is a name that everybody knows now, even people who aren't really SWAC people. They know Akil Glass. He's an NFL prospect, the best quarterback in the SWAC for the last two seasons, maybe even three if you want to go back further. The receiving corps, the Brian Moore, Big Play Zay, as they call him, Abdul Ibrahim, who came out of nowhere as a freshman. You have Adu Hilaire, Brian Jenkins Jr., Kendrick Johnson as a tight end. You know, and they just added D. Anderson, who played at Oklahoma State and LSU. He's 6'6", 230 guy from Texas. Your big body receiver, that's definitely going to help this offense get him a bigger receiver to go alongside Ibrahim as a bigger guy. Defensively, some names. Adrickus Connor from Mississippi State, he's a defensive back. Chanel Troutman from Louisville, he's a defensive back. Breon, excuse me, where is his name? How am I? Breon Dixon, who's a defensive back. He went to Ole Miss and Alabama, Ole Miss and Nebraska. You also have Spencer Perry, who's a defensive back, and Malik Barrow, who's a defensive lineman. So they have some weapons coming in. Now, obviously, you have to, you know, take that with a grain of salt. A&M is losing a big piece on that defensive line with Marcus Cushing. He transferred to Florida State, so that's a big loss. But they also return a guy like Armani Holloway, who's a guy who I really hype up. I think he's one of the more underrated players and a guy that most people don't talk about. And, you know, even though this kid is not going to play yet, they added Quincy Casey as a backup quarterback. So that makes their two deep at quarterback probably the best in the league as far as actual game experience. So, you know, those pieces coming together are going to take some time, but I feel like they're in a good enough position to win against South Carolina State. September 18th, they head to Daytona Beach for their first road game, and they play Bethune-Cookman. And this is one of the few games other than the big two that I'm going to talk about in a minute. This is one of the few games that I'm kind of iffy going both ways. You know, this is a road game. You know, we really don't know how this team is gonna play at the start of the season. We don't know if they're going to come in, you know, feeling hungry still, or if they're going to feel a little full and have to work themselves. This game it's not a trap game because Bethune-Cookman is a good team. But they're a wild card right now. We don't really know exactly where they are. But this is a game that can cause A&M to slip up. And an early loss would be detrimental to the division race because I feel like even though there's, you know, you can say five teams in the East have a shot, this is probably a three-team race. So you can ill afford to lose the teams that's not in that three-team race. But I think A&M will find a way to win this game simply because, and I'm going to say this quite a bit in this preview, so, you know, you just get used to hearing it. The offense is going to do enough to win these kind of games for them. They'll be able to score. And if the defense can get enough stops, they'll be fine. And I think this is the kind of game that they may give up a couple more points than normal. But I think that they're going to be able to outscore people because your defense is going to have to show up to stop A&M. You're not gonna win games against them if you can't stop them. So if they can find any semblance of balance in their running game with Gary Qualls, then they'll be in good shape to win this game. You know, it's gonna be tough. You know, this is a game that I may even waver on as we get closer to the, you know, as we do our weekly previews. You know, it's really gonna be a game that I like. I'm interested in it. I want to see it. So we're gonna go with the Bulldogs on that one. Bethune-Cookman won't get their first SWAC win just yet. September 25th, they go to Mobile and to take on Tuskegee in the Gulf Coast Challenge. Obviously, you know, this is a D2 opponent. Tuskegee is a tough opponent. You know, they definitely play hard against, you know, in-state teams. But I think A&M, again, going to have the offensive edge. I think the defense will be good enough to do what it needs to do to get a win in games like this. So I'm going to go with A&M in this one as well. And they'll move on to a 3-0 record at this point. October 2nd, they go to Grambling to take on the Tigers. And A&M's been very successful against Grambling. Grambling has beat A&M a couple times as well. They typically were able to win. Grambling was one of the few teams in the last few years that has been able to slow A&M down, not stop them, but slow them down, especially with turnovers. But this Grambling team is too much of a wild card right now. Don't really know a lot about them. Obviously, they have some changes coming, and they have some new personnel. And Coach Fobbs is on the hot seat. So this is going to be a game that is going to be – I'm going with A&M, but if Grambling is able to get their act together, obviously this game can swing the other way. I think A&M is going to be okay in this game. I think they'll be able to slow Grambling down, because Grambling has historically been – well, not historically, but the last couple years has been a slow-starting team. And I think that this could possibly be – the same thing. And if Grambling has a slow start this year, then that's going to probably seal Coach Favre's fate. But we're not going to get too much into that. But I think A&M will win this game and move on to 4-0. October 9th, they take on Jackson State, and that's homecoming, I believe, in Huntsville. And now this is the first of a couple games that I'm really wavering back and forth. It's hard to pick Jackson State to win this game simply for the fact that I don't know how this team is going to play. Now, on paper, Jackson State has a tremendous team. You know, they have a lot of guys coming in. They have a lot of talent, you know, coming in. And, you know, by this point in the season, they could be clicking. But you look at the flip side, you know, if this team doesn't click right out the gate, you know, would they be able to rebound? And playing on the road in an atmosphere like this is going to be, you know, a tough – it's not going to be impossible, but it's going to be an adjustment. And it was, you know, they're playing good football. They're probably going to be playing good football at this point. Obviously, this is all speculation, but I think it's going to be a game that can go either way. I think Jackson is the type of team, at least from what we're expecting, you know, they're going to be good enough to take care of business in this game. I'm really like 50-50 on this game. You know, if you was like, man, you got to pick somebody. I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know. I'm really like really wavering in this. You know, it doesn't mean anything to make a pick, but, you know, just to put your name on it. At this point, I would go with A&M just for the fact that we don't really know what Jackson is. We know what they can be. And we know what they probably will be, but we don't know that for sure at this point. There's a little bit more certainty to A&M, and I also feel like they have the edge on the sidelines at this point. Now, don't come for me, because obviously by the time the season starts and things come around, you know, Jackson could be undefeated. You know, who knows? You know, I mean, we don't know. It's really hard to really say what they're going to do without just saying, oh, they're going to do this because this is how I feel. So I'm going to go with A&M. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Jackson, no matter what, I think they play close in this game. And they have a shot to win late. I think Alabama A&M maybe makes a last second stop to win this game. But, you know, that can be saved till we get closer to October 9th. October 16th, back-to-back weeks against the other two top teams predicted to be in the East Division. This game, again, I don't know. A&M, Florida A&M has a new quarterback that they're going to be playing. We don't know exactly how they'll be faring on offense at this point in the season. They still do have some weapons on their offense. And defensively, they're very solid. Coach Willie Simmons is a good coach. And, you know, fam, you's hungry to win the SWAC. You know, they want to make their mark. They want to make their mark in the league and show that they can get this done and show that they are in control of the conference. I feel like the Jackson game may take some out of Alabama A&M. So I'm going to go with Florida A&M in this game. And I think that, you know, this is a matchup that is going to go a long, long way in deciding the division. If A&M gets past Jackson, then this is going to set up a really important game this week. But I'm going to go with Florida A&M just for the fact that I feel like that Jackson game, if they win, I feel like that game is going to be an emotional affair, and they could be drained coming off of that. They get a week off, and then October 30th, they head to Birmingham to take on Alabama State in the Magic City Classic. Again, this is the kind of game you can throw the Rutgers out the window, but I think, you know, head-to-head, you know, everything, you know, even, you know, A&M wins this game. Now, obviously, there are good chances for upsets in this game. You know, I don't think Alabama State was going to win the game in the spring, even though they were playing good. I think the game may have been closer if Ryan Nettles doesn't get hurt, but I still don't think they win, because I still feel like Alabama A&M would have got their offense going in the second half. So I kind of feel like it'll be the same type of game, maybe a close first quarter, and A&M pulls away. And again, a lot of this is going to depend on how A&M plays on defense. If those new pieces that they added can gel, and, you know, they can get a pass rush, you know, since they've lost their top sack guy, if they can get a pass rush and you know, not give a big play through the air, then I'm feeling really confident in this team, you know, moving throughout the season. So I think they'll beat Alabama State. I would not be surprised if Alabama State found a way to win this game, though. November 6th, they come back home and they face Valley. They're going to win. You know, a lot of people are really hopping on the Valley train right now. I love Valley. You know, Valley is a family school, but I'm just not there yet. And obviously they're not there to win this kind of game. I ain't and them win this game. November 3rd, 13th, they go to Houston to take on Texas Southern. Again, this is a game that I feel very confident in picking Alabama A&M. I do think Texas Southern will win a game or two this year, but not this one. I don't think that they have the defensive power to slow down Alabama A&M, and I don't think they have the offense to really play with Alabama A&M if this game does get to be high scoring. November 20th, this is a big game, again, that I'm looking forward to. Hopefully, you know, it makes it to that point, because I do have my questions. And that's Alabama A&M hosting Pine Bluff. Now, these two teams played in Huntsville in 2019, and Pine Bluff blew Alabama A&M out and really made their mark on the league. Pine Bluff has taken some losses to the portal after the spring, and they lost a big part of their offense in Harry Ballard. So, you know, by this point in the season, we don't know how this team is going to be, you know, with a team like Alcorn moving over in the division. That's another tough foe to face. You know, Southern and Prairie View can wear down this team. If this team is still in the race, this is going to be a good game. If this team is out of the race, then I feel very confident in picking Alabama A&M. Again, I'm going to pick the Bulldogs, but this is a game that, depending on circumstances, I can be swayed to look at this as a 50-50 game, but right now I'm going with Alabama A&M. And depending on what FAMU does in the rest of the season, then they could head to the SWAC Championship on December 4th. But right now I'm not gonna forecast that. So looking at what I picked for my schedule, and the team only plays 10 games, I feel like this is a 9-1 season for them. That's probably the best case scenario. I don't really, you know, I guess you could say best case scenario would be an undefeated season, but I'm not really seeing that, because I feel like the SWAC is going to eat somebody. I don't feel like anybody's going to go through the conference without a loss. So I definitely feel like at least one loss will come on their schedule. So that's, you know, if you were to, you know, I could easily say, you know, 10-0, would be the best case scenario, but I feel more comfortable going 9-1. The worst case scenario is they lose probably three games and finish 7-3. But that, you know, that's most likely losing the Jackson and FAMU games and either South Carolina State, Bethune-Cookman, or Pine Bluff. Anything worse than that, I don't know what happened to the team. So I really don't see them. I don't really see them losing more than two games. But I'm forecasting them to go 9-1 at this point. So I'm really looking forward to what A&M can do. This is a very important season for them to coming off of a championship. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle success. You know, this is Coach Mano's first truly successful year at this school, not coaching, because, you know, he was very successful at Winston-Salem. But this is a new group of guys that he's handling as far as success. And we're going to have to see, you know, if they can continue to stay hungry, because they're going to have a bullseye on them. And having a guy that's touted as the best in the conference and maybe even the best in the nation at quarterback is definitely an all eyes on you type of affair. So I'm really excited to see what they do. You know, I don't expect much of a fall off, but it's always possible. You know, I mean, anything's possible. That's one of the things I always kind of approach when I look at things. I always try to look at variables and things like that. But I'm feeling, you know, pretty confident in this season. But East will be a meat grinder. I like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the division winner did have two losses. That's always a possibility. But, you know, in July, looking at paper, you know, obviously things look different. This is probably going to be the toughest year that I have as far as making game by game predictions, because I really feel like there's going to be teams that lose games that they probably shouldn't. And, you know, having new opponents to go to, like going, taking trips to Daytona and Tallahassee are definitely going to wear on some teams. But I do feel like Alabama State has a manageable schedule. They only have two non-conference games. Both of them are winnable. They have you can say that the two worst teams in each division on their schedule. Obviously, Valley is an East Division opponent, but they draw Texas Southern from the West. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. You know, Grambling, we don't know where they're going to be. So that, you know, that's a possibility of a team that may not be that good. So they have a chance to run up some confidence, building wins, and also finish strong. So, you know, we don't know what Pine Bluff will be. You know, it's possible that they can stay the course, but they haven't historically shown that. So right now, you know, it's hard to pick them as being that kind of team when we know that most times that Pine Bluff wins, they tend to fade. So I like the way their schedule is set up. I mean, obviously those two games, October 9th and October 16th, are very tough. If they can find a way to navigate those two games, then the rest of the season, they should be fine. This is a championship caliber team. You know, I would not be surprised if they won the championship or at least made it back. But the Jackson and FAMU back-to-back weekends is going to be tough. So I keep saying, I'm excited. I'm really eager to see Akil Glass play this year. Like I said, a lot of eyes are on him. So we really are going to have to pay close attention to what they do. And that's going to do it for this show. You know, like I said, this is the first of 12 season previews. Again, like I said, they're not going to be as thorough as they were in previous years, mainly because of, you know, with the spring season taking place and, you know, guys getting COVID years. So it's going to be, you know, really, it's going to be really, really tough to make educated predictions, but that's the fun part of doing a show like this. So be sure to check out the YouTube channel. We're going to have a video up on Alabama A&M previewing that season. Mainly, I'm just going to go over the schedule. I'm not going to go too deep on anything. If you want the depth, you stay here. And then Sunday, we'll talk about Alabama State. So with that being said, I'm your boy, Charles Wells, host of Swag Talk, and I'm signing off, and we will see you guys on Sunday for the Hornets season preview, and we're out.